Hi, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode 16. So I'm recording on my MacBook Pro using Soundtrack Pro and the Mac's built-in microphone. To those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about here is my opinion from my experience with guitars and effects and amps and so on. Please chime in with comments and questions, emails to info@theguitarpodcast.net. Also, you will find that the Guitar Podcast has a Facebook page, so you can leave comments and so on and so forth there, and discussions about each episode going forward from now. Kind of excited about that. Kind of opening up a little forum area there. So get on Facebook. In the search field, type in the Guitar Podcast, and you'll see my little black and white logo that has a guitar and says the Guitar Podcast on it. And select that one, go there, click like it, and put some comments there, and we can start discussions. We're going to talk a little bit about this week, a number of different things. First off, I just got back from the Joe Banwa CD release concert, and my ears are still ringing. It was really good. It was nice and loud. The drummer was hitting it hard. Two guitars, three amps on stage, bass on stage. It was really, really good. They rocked out, and then they brought it down and got nice and acoustic and emotional and really spiritually moving, and then got it loud again and raucous. And I'm holding my almost 3-year-old daughter, and she's pumping her fist in the air, and I'm pumping my fist in the air, and we're yelling, and it was great. It's a really nice moment for the whole family, and kind of a nice special moment for the two of us, I thought. For me, I'll have a lasting memory of that. But yeah, Joe's concert went really well. I got a handful of discs for myself and for family. And just wish him the best going forward. So, but yeah, my ears are ringing. I know you're all thinking, oh man, you know, you have your toddler in there with that loud music. I think my ears are ringing all the time anyway, so I don't know if it was from the music or just from that my ears are always ringing. I want to talk about a few different things, like I said. I want to start off with talking about guitar picks. I've used a lot of different guitar picks in my life, and when I first started playing guitar, I had several different kinds and weights and everything. When I went to the guitar store, I was like, hey, I'm interested in it. I want to get some guitar picks and kind of check this out. And I didn't have much money. I might have had $2 on me, but I wanted to buy something. I wanted to buy something guitar related, something cool, you know. It was like, what was I, 11, 12? And so I didn't know what pick to buy, so I just went with kind of the advice of the guy behind the counter. He said, just check out a few different ones and get a variety and see what you like. And so that's what I did. I grabbed a red one and a tortoise shell looking one and a gray one that had grippy stuff on it, and there were nylon and Tortex plastic and just a bunch of different kinds, and from that I realized quick and different thicknesses too, thin, medium, heavy. Some would say, you know, the diameter, the, you know, in millimeters, but I quickly realized that I really liked the Fender Heavy, the red Fender Heavy. I liked that one a lot. But I think it probably led to me breaking more strings because it was such a heavy pick. And I was young, and I was playing heavy metal and playing on 9-gauge strings, and probably a little heavier handed than I needed to be. But that's part of the growing process. That's part of the learning process. I think a lot of young players when they're people who are starting out, especially playing rock, they hit the guitar a little harder than maybe they need to. And I was guilty of that. So I was also cheap because there were times when I'd break a string and I'd like a E string or a B string, and I'd turn it around and tie it onto a ball and twist it around and tie it up and try to make do with that, a tied string with a couple of knots. I mean, it wouldn't stay in tune very well at all, and then it'd pop loose again, and I was just trying to make do. It was really kind of silly. I liked those red picks for quite a while there, but I don't know, about 2-3 years, and And then I got the Jim Dunlop yellow picks that are Tortex. They're a blend of different materials that are supposed to react more like a tortoiseshell pick, but not spending quite the money it would take to get a tortoiseshell pick and not violate any laws. And I mean, that's basically what they were trying to do with a lot, or I think they still are trying to do with a lot of their picks. But I like the 0.73 yellow. I like that one a lot. It's nice and smooth, and it's almost a medium weight pick, like a Fender medium, but it's just a smidge heavier than that, and it kind of has a smoother attack. But I remember seeing Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, that he used those, and I thought that was pretty cool. But I saw George Lynch using that same weight, but the shark fin type that had like a jagged edge, and then this, I don't know what you'd call it. It's a crazy looking pick. But I grabbed up a bunch of those and I loved them. You could do all kinds of weird noises with them, and they felt pretty good, and the weight was right. And I was a big fan of George Lynch in 87, 88. So I bought up a bunch of those and used them. But eventually it came that, you know, it didn't make sense to use such a strange pick. And the yellow, the regular shaped yellow 0.73 millimeter Dunlop pick became a mainstay for me for the longest time. It's funny how a few years ago I got a hold of just a regular Fender medium weight pick, and I really liked its attack a bit better. It had just a little bit sharper attack, just a little brighter. It might be that, you know, my ears aren't hearing that higher register anymore as well, that I might want to have that little bit better attack on the high end. I don't know, it just, the feel of it and everything. I still have the yellows and I still use them, but anymore, if I had the choice, I usually grab those Fender medium tortoiseshell like picks, and I'm sure they're just plastic, but they just have a different feel to them and a different sound, and if I grab one, that's probably going to be it. Now then, there are some higher end picks out there, blue chip picks. I'd love to get a hold of some of those and I'll do a review on those. They are touted as having the feel of a real tortoiseshell pick. The attack, the tack. So whenever your fingers get a little sweaty, it grips it even better. They're kind of pricey. I'm not going to kid you. I mean, they're about $30 a pick, something like that. You just get on Google and type in blue chip picks, and you'll see information about them. I've seen two or three write-ups over the last couple of years in Vintage Guitar Magazine about them, and it's been really pretty interesting. I've really been interested in getting a hold of one. That's a lot of money to get a hold of one, but it'd be really cool to get something like that that's as close to the real thing. But yeah, those are the picks that I tend to use, and I'd love to try out one of those blue chip picks. Last weekend, it was a Saturday morning, and I woke up and my wife said, "Hey, let's go get iPhones." And I've been begging for that for I don't know, last 6 to 8 months, and I had other plans for that Saturday, but you know, you strike while the iron's hot, right? So we hopped in the car and ran to Best Buy, and we got our iPhones and spent a good little bit of time there switching over. But it's well worth it. Really, really like my iPhone and the apps that you can get a hold of. And so that led to a topic I'd like to talk about today. Apps for your iPhone that every guitar player should probably have, or music lover, or whatever. The thing is, I some of these you'll find that the two most important here, I think, well, all four of them. It doesn't matter if you're a guitar player, a mandolin player, or acoustic, or violin, fiddle. I know my family would call it a fiddle, but I'll include the higher-end orchestra violinist in this. But any kind of acoustic instrument. Oh, and at this moment, my wife is actually, she's playing with her iPhone. I don't know if she's... Solitaire. Oh, she's playing solitaire on it. Yeah, it's kind of typical of when we first got computers back way, way, way back. Everybody played solitaire on them all the time. It's kind of funny. I just find that kind of funny. Because she never played solitaire on her computer. Anyway, I'm gonna.
It's an app.
Yeah, it's an app. Okay, that's great. So I'm gonna start with some music applications that are on the iPhone that are really cool, and many of you have probably gone on the internet and gone to GrooveShark, where you can type in and you can listen to all sorts of different music on there. Well, GrooveShark, they have an app for GrooveShark, and you can listen to all different kinds of music on there. You can search for artists or songs or whatever and listen to them, and it's shared, and it's really cool. Another one is Pandora. Pandora is really cool because it's internet radio. It's a little more of a passive interface. You just choose the style of music that you want to listen to, which they've really broken it down into a lot of different genres, which is really, really cool. But they have all sorts of different stations with all sorts of different genres you can listen to, and it just starts playing. Now, if you run across a song that you don't like, you can skip it, and you can go on to the next. However, if you try to skip three, it'll stop you. I mean, three in a row or something like that, it'll stop you and say, you need to kind of listen to this and kind of deal with it. It is radio. But I think it's really cool. I was hanging blinds for my wife earlier in the week, or last week, and thought, hey, I'll just check it out. And I listened to classic country radio. I know. The other one is heavy metal radio. So, I mean, what can you say? I don't know. But it was really kind of neat because I listened to a bunch of songs that I hadn't heard since I was a little kid. And then others, it was funny that were from the 90s. So I don't know what they're calling classic country, but it was stuff that I liked. And it was neat. And then I listened to heavy metal radio, and the first song that came on there was, I think it was Battery by Metallica. I was like, oh, instantly in love with Pandora. So I highly recommend Pandora for your apps. Just, kind of passively listen to whatever music you want to listen to. I mean, so you launch Pandora, and you can, at the top there, you have two tabs, artists or genre. You click on genre, and you have a choice of, starts with alternative, blues, Christian, classical, country, easy listening, electronic, family, folk, hip hop, holiday, indie, jazz, Latin, new age, pop, R&B, rock, and world. Let's go with blues. And then it breaks it down even further to like 50s and 60s blues. You talk about Muddy Waters and such, or acoustic blues, essential blues. Blues guitar legends, Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, I'm guessing. Blues rock, contemporary blues, and traditional blues. So they've broken it down fairly well. So then you just click one of those and listen, and then you can bookmark them so you can go back and listen to them again later. So you have different stations you want to listen to. Highly, highly recommend this app. Then we have the Metronome. It's a free app. All three of these apps I've mentioned so far are free. Big time. Free is beautiful. I love that word, free. But the Metronome, it actually looks like a real metronome that you would see sitting on top of a piano teacher's piano. And it counts off in 4/4. It's like pop, tick, 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 pop, tick, tick, tick. And you can slide the bar up and down so that you can make it faster or slower. I highly recommend practicing with the metronome when you're working on scales. We'll probably talk about working with the metronome another time, but I highly recommend getting this if you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch or an iPad. Get this app. It's free. It will improve your playing greatly. If just working on scales, exercises, playing songs, writing songs, your drummers will like you better. Now, the only app that I have spent any money on thus far is iStrobo Soft, and it costs $10, which for most people would think, man, that's a lot of money for an app on an iPhone. Well, check it out. The app is made by Peterson. It is a strobe tuner on your iPhone. Now, those of you who may know, there are different levels of quality tuners out there. Let's say your basic entry level tuner is like a pitch pipe that you blow into, and then you're trying to match up and you're training your ear. If you're a beginning musician, your ear's not completely trained, so it's going to be tougher for you to get your instrument in tune. That's why you want to step up to that next thing, which is an analog tuner that has like a needle that goes back and forth, that has a mic that you hit each string, and it It tells you when it's in tune or if it's flat or sharp, and that helps out too. And those aren't very expensive, around 10, 15 bucks maybe. And then you make that next step to a digital tuner, which is a little bit more, right in that same range. It acts the same way as an analog tuner. It emulates a needle moving back and forth. And then you get into a chromatic digital tuner, which is what I use on my pedal board, as well as most of my guitar cases will have one in there. And those run around 20 bucks, give or take a few. Cork makes a good one. There are several different ones, and they'll have a little mic, and then they can emit a pitch that you can use your ear to tune your guitar to, or your bass or whatever, or your mandolin. And those are really good. But when I was teaching guitar, we had to set up the intonation on guitars from time to time. We just restring a guitar, and we used an old Peterson strobe tuner. It was the best tuner I'd ever used. I mean, it heard things my ear could not hear, and it would once your guitar is in tune perfectly with a strobe tuner, it sounds better, it plays better, even better than what you would have it with a digital tuner. And they like to stay in tune better. If the guitar is in tune with itself, with its intonation, its harmonics are set right, and you get it in perfect tune, stretch the strings, it'll like being there, and it will stay in tune longer. And this isn't just from my experience. I've read other people talk about that too, that when it's perfectly in tune, it stays there. Now then, which brings me back to the strobe tuner here. I knew that when I got an iPhone, I would want to have a tuner on there, and I'd read up on a few different ones. And then when I bought the iPhone, I did a Google search and looked for reviews of who was ranking what, you know, what which tuner the highest. And there were several that were, you know, $2, $3, $4 a tuner, and you know, that's not too bad. But as soon as I saw the name Peterson attached to this particular app, I knew that it was the best one to get. And the people did complain that it was $10 for the app and that others were cheaper, but I think you're getting what you pay for. One, because it's a strobe tuner. It hears, it shows the note in a way that no other device can show. And it guides you to what is in perfectly in tune, better than any other device I've ever used. Two, it's right there with you at all times. I mean, I don't carry around a tuner in my, sometimes I don't have one in every guitar case. But if I have my phone with me, I'll have a tuner on me. Now, as it is, it works best for acoustic instruments like acoustic guitar, mandolin, that sort of thing. And usually if I'm playing an electric guitar, I would have my pedal board there, and it has a tuner right on the board. So I use a Boss tuner, which is fairly standard. It's a really good tuner. I spent $100 on that. It's a great tuner. I highly recommend it. You can daisy chain power off of it from your power supply as well, which is very, very handy. But if being able to plug your guitar into your iPhone to be able to utilize this is important to you, there is an adapter out there you can get a hold of as well. I just think that these four things are kind of essential. I didn't mind spending the $10 on what I consider the best tuner that they had there, and I'd have it with me at all times. So that's my recommendation. Now, if $10 is a lot, you can go down with one of the other ones that's a little less expensive, and it has more features. There are different apps out there. I think Gibson has one that teaches you lessons and has a tuner and a metronome and those sorts of things. But I wanted the one thing to do it the best, and I played around with the metronome, and it was great. I loved its interface. It was just like a real metronome sitting there. It was very consistent, continued to go. I really liked it. You know, a Peterson strobe tuner on my iPhone for 10 bucks, I can't beat that either. I have a full-size strobe tuner that I use to set the intonation on my guitars and tune them up whenever I'm changing strings and such. That I bought a used one on eBay several years ago. I think it was from like the late 70s, early 80s maybe, but I mean, those things they're tanks. So anyway, I hope you got something out of this episode, and please chime in with an email to info@theguitarpodcast.net. Check us out on Facebook, and hope to see you there. And that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Yeah, get a hold of me on Facebook or email me. I'll either reply back on there or on a future episode. This is Lauren Hutt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.